The associate publisher of the Lansing City Pulse, Mickey Hurton, has been thinking a lot lately about placemaking here in mid-Michigan. His recent writing for the paper and for the Greater Lansing Business Monthly has focused on projects like the outfield apartments at the downtown Lansing Baseball Stadium, Cooley Lawfield Stadium, and expected developments like a new Costco store. Could these projects be a catalyst for more growth in the Lansing area, the kind of growth that leaders of local units of government and business leaders have been striving for? Well, we've invited Mickey back to Current State to talk about how these efforts might be or might become related. Welcome back.
Well, thank you so much. And I will, now that I know it's music making day, I'm going to go home, play the piano. Thank you, Mark.
Oh, well done. I've heard you play the piano. You can play the piano, yeah. Well, your column in last week's City Pulse was entitled Baseball and Bands, as it turns out. You write about how the Lugnuts and the live music that are on the schedule at Cooley Law School Stadium have spurred the outfield apartment complex. So let's start there. You looked around the outfield. What'd you make of it?
Well, you know, it's funny. Ever since they announced that project, you thought about it, and that they've built it. Every time I go by, I'm trying to keep my eyes on the road, but I was looking at the project off to the side. So finally I said, well, you know, I really ought to go inside and take a look, because I'm sure people wonder what it's like to live overlooking a ball field.
Exactly.
And it is pretty cool. It really is. And it's got, they had, you know, you have the ball games, you have the fireworks, and then they had a big country concert last weekend or the weekend before. And it just struck me that this is precisely what Lansing's looking for. Mm-hmm. I mean, Lansing is transforming in so many ways. And it you know, if it was a stodgy city before, now it's starting to get a little bit of cool in lots of different areas. And what got me thinking more about that was I talked to Thomas Glossmacher, who's head of the FRIB, and he was talking about recruiting. And he talked about the things when he tries to get people from the East Coast to the West Coast or Chicago to come to Lansing, in East Lansing, one of the things they look for are amenities. And it's things he mentioned like Whole Foods or Monticello Market or Old Town. And these things matter. They really do. So, and also happening lately is Costco coming here. Now, I think that's a big deal, because Costco is the premier, you know, warehouse retailer in the country.
Have we hit some other kind of level here lately? It seems to be concentrated into a pretty short period of time, the Whole Foods, the Costco.
Right.
Chick-fil-A. I mean, I hear people talk about Chick-fil-A even coming to town. You know?
Well, I don't know if anyone's coming from New York City to catch the Chick-fil-A, but it all is part of, to me, a maturing of the Lansing area. We are now, I think we have moved ourselves up from a grade, let's call it a grade C+, to a B market. And these things are really important. It's you see it when you go downtown on a weekend night, and the downtown area around the stadium, up and down Michigan Avenue on Washington, it's crowded. There are people there. And if you talk with any economic development folks, and particularly the ones at LEAP, placemaking is so vital to an area because there's so much competition. If you want to get talent, you want to bring young people in, you want to have a dynamic environment, you need amenities that they like, and we're getting them.
Yeah. What's it like to be in an apartment in the outfield, on the fourth floor? It's four floors.
Four floors, yeah. And of course, now Pat Gillespie, who built it, his biggest regret is he didn't put on a fifth floor.
How about that?
But who knew? You know, they're small, but they look right onto the ballpark, and they're very modern in their sense. I mean, they're really, although they have a broad clientele, you know, they have older folks. They have doctors, they have professionals. It really has a millennial feel. And so they're relatively small, well-appointed, nice kitchens, nice bathrooms, but you're buying a lifestyle. You know, where else can you get an apartment that also provides half a year of entertainment? And now you have to like the entertainment. And my question, I have a friend who lives there, and that's what got me thinking about this too, is, yeah, it sounds really cool right now. You know, we got games, we got fireworks, we got lights. But when the season starts in April, you know, is that going to get a little tiring by August?
Fireworks are routine. The games run kind of late sometimes.
Well, then the lights are on until 1 or 2 or 3 in the morning as they clean up. But here's the point. You may get tired of it, but there's going to be someone else who thinks this is just the coolest thing in the world. And you see that. So if you go by there on a game night – or the concert, the balconies are filled with people.
Mm.
You know, it is party time. And so it's fun, but it's important because it's a different kind of Lansing than we've had 10 years ago.
What were the ingredients in that, though? What made these things happen?
Well, a lot of it has just been that there's been a push to bring housing into downtown Lansing. And that's in its gone fits and starts. The Gillespie Group has built the Marketplace, Midtown, the Outfield. You took lofts on Washington. And it's the slow growth. I mean, there haven't been any home runs necessarily, but you're seeing it. And the biggest project underway right now is that Skyview, right opposite, right by the Sears.
Red Cedar Renaissance, across from what will be the Red Cedar Renaissance.
9 stories, you know, mixed use. And again, this is part of it. It's happening. But all of these projects together, you know, they bring in housing, they appeal to the right kinds of demographics, they improve Michigan Avenue, and it's just building the kind of corridor that the region needs. And when Red Cedar finally gets off the ground, and they're hoping to break ground this summer, then you will have very significant development pulling East Lansing and Lansing together, but with cool things in between, and that's what they really need.
Hmm. Mickey Hurton is associate publisher of the Lansing City Pulse. He also writes for the Greater Lansing Business Monthly. We're talking about placemaking. Tell us more about the conversation with Mr. Glassmacher over at FRIB.
Well, that's interesting because I'm writing a story this month about the accelerator industry and our bid to build an economic foundation on that. The FRIB is unbelievable. I mean, it is going to be the top cyclotron research organization in the country. So what business leaders in the community are trying to do is build an industry around that. LEAP has developed an entire strategy. They built a 124-page report that goes after this, and they think there's billions of dollars in potential investment if we can lure them to Lansing. Now, one of the things that Glassmacher is talking about is trying to get really good people here. A larger issue is we have some very, very, very deep strengths, but we don't have broad strengths in attacking that. Mm. And that's one of the challenges that the market bans. They have to find broader skills that allow us to compete with places like, the San Francisco's and San Jose's and even Rochester, Minnesota's. I mean, it's a whole base of skills. Our strength is manufacturing. And the heavy, heavy expertise in, you know, nuclear physics that would come out of the university here. So they're building it, and the regional leaders are pretty optimistic. And Glassmacher is out there getting people.
Yeah.
I talked to him. He was, he was supposed to call me, and he was late calling me because he was working a guy from Chicago who he was telling about the cool things here, the Whole Foods and the Monticello's and the Horrocks and all. So.
Let's really switch gears here. You have recently laid some criticism on the secrecy of the process that was used by county judges that led to the choice of Gretchen Whitmer as interim county prosecutor. You see a lack of transparency here.
They had an opportunity. This is like so much, Mark. I mean, yes, law allows you to do things in secret, but you don't have to. You know, it's like all of the FOIA. You can hold it back or you can give it. So the judges then took an elected office. I mean, that's the prosecutor. And they picked Whitmer, which is a great choice. But why the secrecy? And they had no good reason for it. And I think the judges sort of confused their judicial role, which is what they mostly do, with sort of a legislative type of role. Mm. And they went to their normal judicial secrecy, but they didn't have to. And again, there is no more powerful position in a community than the prosecutor. They have dozens and dozens of lawyers. They can charge anything they want. It's a very, very highly politicized elected office. Mm. And so you'd think understanding that, they would have said, well, maybe we ought to be a little more transparent in how we operate.
This
but
is interesting.
They didn't have to.
It is interesting because yesterday we heard from Ronna Romney McDaniel, Michigan's Republican Party chairman, press release reading she called on ex-state Senator Gretchen Whitmer to voluntarily release all emails and other documents related to her secret selection. It says here is the next Ingham County prosecutor. So, and she points out here in the press release, this is, again, from the Michigan Republican Party, Whitmer told the Lansing State Journal when she applied for the position that it strikes me that one of the most important things to earn back is the trust of the people of Ingham County and Romney McDaniel and the other Republicans are jumping on that.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's pretty laughable, isn't it, considering the Republicans' interest in open government is about zero. But, yeah, and Whitmer, I mean, this is a short-term appointment anyway, and Whitmer's a good choice. And, in fact, she really didn't push much for it. I mean, the judges, I mean, look at their Democratic court. She is the former Senate Minority Leader, an attorney, I mean, working with a big firm. It's a reasonable choice, and I think there's a little bit of...
You think she should release the emails?
Well, probably. It probably is boring as, you know, can be. I mean, there's really not much there. The judges, when I talked to some of them about this decision, they really didn't give it a ton of thought. I mean, it was just sort of, we need to fill this job. Whitmer's available. And it didn't go much beyond that. They didn't even do interviews with her.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean, I think that's just, you know, politics in a slow political season.
Let's continue on this theme, though. Your June 8th column about the congressional campaign of Melissa Gilbert was headlined Another Dem Disaster. You questioned if she was ever serious about waging a campaign to unseat Republican Mike Bishop. She cited health issues in withdrawing. What do you think lay ahead here for the Dems in the 8th?
A disaster yet again. I mean, there is no bench. I mean, look at the middle part of the state. I mean, there just is not a serious Democratic Party operation here. You've got Wahlberg, you've got Amash, you've got Bishop. I mean, these are the congressmen who sort of fringe the Lansing area.
Molinar,
All Republicans with no one really to step up. I mean, if you think about the Republican bench in this region, you got Virge Bonaro, pretty serious, you know, ran for governor, and you got Gretchen. And after that, I mean, yeah, you've got some pretenders, but
Verge has aspired to higher office, as we all know. I mean, what are the odds there, do you think?
Pretty slim, I think, because the Dems haven't really put much money into a race here. And it's a tough, you know, I think Bishop could be beatable. I mean, you haven't heard much from him. He's really very much a backbencher. And this was a year with good money, good candidates. I think Bishop might have been, you could at least make it competitive. But
somebody's name's going to end up on the ballot. The money on you?
Well, it could be you or me. I mean, because whoever it is, I think it's likely to be a very sacrificial lamb. And even, you know, this has sort of been the races in the past. But we recognize now, and the Democratic Party recognized it too late, that it got completely outmaneuvered using the last census to gerrymander its districts. And unless the Dems get serious, same thing's going to happen in 2020. And so, you know, when they say all politics is local, well, the Democrats better figure out that local is going to count. And so that means winning state legislative races so that they have some say in determining the congressional districts. And it's just going to require, I think, some real investment in people and money if we want to have a two-party system. Because right now, I mean, look at what we have in this state. We have a single-party government. And granted, my proclivities lean more towards Democrats, but two parties isn't bad. They sort of keep each other in check, and we don't have that.
We got to have the strongest two-party system we can.
Right.
We have to make the bigger to make this really viable.
Right, and you want that kind of that kind of discussion of issues, and you want the give and take, and the compromise probably works best for all of us. And we don't have that now. So the Dem and it's not going to change in this election. And whether Gilbert really did it, she wasn't even around before she gave up. I mean, how many times did we see her in Lansing, which has got to be a market where she could raise money and build support, get volunteers. I mean, this was a place where you could, this is the core of the Democratic Party in this district.
I see a potential theme emerging for the 2016 campaigns, hopeless campaigns. How many hopeless campaigns are we going to see in November of 2016? I'll just leave it at that.
We'll come back and talk about that.
Okay. Mickey Hurton is the associate publisher of the City Pulse. He also writes for the Greater Lansing Business Monthly. Always great to have you on the show, Mickey. Thank you.
Happy to be here.